WRCT Pittsburgh. The time is 11 p.m. and you're listening to Love Line. The topic for tonight is opening the doors to the inner sanctum. I am DJ Super Tonto, and I'd like to introduce the rest of the people in the studio. Sir?
I'm Bondage Master Posecum.
I'm Ralph.
My name is Lori.
Lori and Ralph, welcome to the show. Ralph, regular listeners of Loveline probably remember Ralph from a few weeks ago when he appeared on a previous episode. I believe that was Accessing the Inner Sanctum, where Ralph revealed that he was a practitioner in the controversial and unusual art of BDSM. And BDSM stands for, I'm not sure I recall the initials, bondage.
Bondage, domination, and submission, and sadomasochism.
Right, we're ringing a large gong in the studio in order to enhance the atmosphere a little bit. That's the sound that you're hearing. But our bronzed gong ringer slave has left the building, and now we can proceed. So Ralph, you're a practitioner of this, and Lori, I believe you're also a practitioner of this, or
no, not at all.
Interesting. So you two are in a relationship where you actually have very different approaches to the BDSM.
At least started out with very different approaches.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yes. Well, I had no approach to it before I met Ralph, except for I knew some people that did that. I knew some people that went to play parties.
Play parties. Now, a play party is some kind of ritual where practitioners of BDSM get together and interact with their craft. Is that right?
Play.
Oh, tell me what you thought a play party was. I'm curious.
Do you mean me?
Yes.
Sorry. Well, actually, I already did know some things because I was friendly with some people that went to play parties. And once when I was curious, I said, well, what do you do there anyway? And they said, well, there's different scenes, and you can participate in a scene, or you can just watch. And I said, oh, okay, no, I'm not interested in that. And that was the end of the discussion.
So had you ever been to a play party? And to this date, have you ever been to a play party?
No.
Interesting. So what is your attitude toward this kind of thing? Were you accepting?
I'd say at first I was tolerant. Now I'd say I'm definitely very accepting of this facet of Ralph's personality.
But before you met Ralph and became intimate, were you disgusted by this
I wouldn't say disgusted is it. I'd say that since I did have good friends that were into this scene, it was more the feeling of, I accept this, I can tolerate it. No, I'm not real interested in hearing the details of what you did there last week, but pretty much acceptance, but no real interest on my part, and I didn't really understand much about it, probably because I didn't go into deep discussions with them about what they were doing or why.
Right. So let's go back to where you and Ralph first met. Now, since you're very different, it's actually sort of surprising to me that you would be interested in each other, but I guess in some circumstances, opposites attract.
Well, no, this is just not something you discuss when you're deciding whether to go on a first date.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, so are you saying that you kept this part of your personality private or secret at first? Or how did you meet? How did it all happen? Where did it all begin?
We'd known each other years ago when I was going out with someone else.
And I think I was at least at first also.
Been friendly. And then we had met again in February, and we were both free, and
so I heard a rumor at a previous play party that I was at that you met on Valentine's Day. Is that true?
That just happened to be our first date, but it was through no fault of our own.
Nice. Your first date was on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Did that make you self-conscious in any way?
Interesting.
I only realized that it was Valentine's Day after we had agreed to go to this play on Friday. We balanced the sappiness of going on a first date on Valentine's Day by going to a singularly unromantic play.
We saw Assassins by Stephen Sondheim, which is a musical about presidential assassins. So, well, there was just no way that you could accuse us of
that. It was not a romantic comedy. Or
no. There was a love duet between Squeaky Frome, is that her last name?
Squeaky Frome.
Yeah, one of Charles Manson's women, and
right.
John Hinckley Jr., the guy that was obsessed with Jodie Foster. But I wouldn't call that quite a love duet.
Right. So now, Ralph, what was this kind of a romantic comedy for you?
No.
Okay.
Squeaky is still in prison. Am I right about that? Or is she out on parole? All those Manson followers, and just as a side note, all the Manson followers are still in prison, as far as I know.
I think so.
Okay, just to clarify. Okay, great. So you're at this play. Is it an amusing takeoff of Assassinations, or is it actually very depressing and sad?
It was a good play.
Did you leave the theater happy and
black humor,
ebullient, or
it was
okay?
But we left the theater. We went to get hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate? Would that be a scalding, painfully hot chocolate?
That would not be a scalding.
Dripping it on. I'm waiting for the point when you tell us that you're going to drip the hot chocolate on each other's nipples, or it has to get kind of.
I don't think you're going to get
there at this point. Sorry about that.
It hasn't happened between us yet, so if you're going to wait for this part of the story, this will be a very long episode.
We'll have to start heating the mixture now.
That really wouldn't work for me.
All right.
So when did you first get the inkling or sense that he was different from the normal bear?
Well, the first difference would be that arrows on my forehead. But
another story.
I think that is the story. There's something in
the
your forehead.
Arrows on your forehead?
But it's unrelated to BDSM.
On our second
we're very
date.
Open-minded on this show here.
On our second date.
Let our viewers make the connection.
On our second date, he had been made a Discordian Pope that day at the TGI.
Oh, I was actually there, I believe, yes.
So I get there for my second date with this man. He's sitting at his computer, and he's got a red and a black arrow painted on his forehead. And I looked at him, and I thought, I'm going to be cool about this. I'm open-minded. I'm tolerant, damn it. Oh, so can I say that on the radio?
I think you can't.
Oh, sorry.
Well, that word has been helpfully beeped out by our engineer, I hope. And that will cost you 10 lashes later in the post.
No way.
The post. I'm sorry. You signed a contract.
Sorry about that.
And it's binding. But
anyway, so I gently said, there's arrows on your forehead. But no, your question, actually, we mentioned we'd known each other through mutual friends.
Right.
For years ago, then we kind of lost contact. Really, what it was is I was friendly with his ex-girlfriend, and I knew that she went to play parties.
How friendly, exactly?
You're reading too much into
I'm sorry, it's just my natural journalistic tendencies.
Shopping
I want to get
buddies.
To the truth.
Probe, mister.
Shopping buddies, so just the ordinary kind
right.
of...
kind it happens. Of,
yeah.
Not in my lifestyle, so...
You're thinking too much time in the steam room.
So anyway,
Interesting. That may be. So.
So she and I were friendly. I knew that she had been to play parties. And I remember telling a friend of mine, somewhere between when we just met in February, maybe before our first date, maybe right after, well, I know Holly went to these play parties, and somehow I just don't think he was home playing computer games while she went.
You don't think Ralph was home playing
right.
computer games? And the person we're calling Holly, that's just a pseudonym. That's
yes.
like a Holly Hunter or Holly, yeah. Yeah, there's numerous Hollies in the world. Okay, so Holly Near, I believe the famous folk singer Holly Near, who I believe is a lesbian, is also
named Holly,
and not into BDSM so far as I know, although maybe she can call in. By the way, we're having serious technical difficulties with our phones, so we would love you to call in, but you can't because the phones aren't working. So you can still, of course, send us fan mail, 5020 Forbes Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA 15213. Care of WRCT of Line. So, your friends, in fact, several of your friends apparently are into BDSM and you're not. So, what is it about you think that attracts bonded friendships? Do you think
none
that
of these have been incredibly close friends, to be honest. And really, we are part of a larger organization. We met through an organization at CMU.
Right.
And there's a clique within the organization that was into that. There's a clique within the there's all sorts of different.
What organization was it?
The Society for Creative Anachronism.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm. And
so you did participate in SCA.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. That's how we re-met, actually.
And met the first time.
Yeah.
Can I ask you what your SCA roles were? Do you have these counter personalities? That are you like some sort
no,
of prince in some kind
really.
Of medieval world with dragons and so on?
No, I'd say that neither of us are really into it all that much.
I see.
We both play nobles when we play, but that's really not too often
so
anyway.
No jousting, for example?
No.
All right.
We dance.
Oh, that's fun.
Dancing. That's always good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you met through SCA. Where are we in the story? I keep interrupting you so much that I'm actually lost. have you had your first... Oh, the play happened?
The play happened, the assassins. She's getting inklings from associations that he might be a little whatever.
Because Squeaky Farm seems to be playing for
So where we are at the story right now is that she's had suspicions from what she knew about my ex-girlfriend.
So what was the next step in this?
Turgid little tale. Torrid
and or turgid.
Well, I'd say we had a tradition of being open and honest with each other from really our first date when I mentioned that.
Well, hold on. First date.
Okay.
This isn't until the first.
This is after the first date.
The first date was the play.
Yes.
Right. But you're saying you were open and honest on the first date.
From day one.
Right. Yeah. No. I think it's just a lot of how both of us are as people.
Hmm.
So.
Okay.
Pretty much everything as things came up, was talked out. For instance, for a while, we were dating, but we were allowed to see other people, and we had talked about that. And then things progressed, and we decided not to see other people anymore. And
you talked about that as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So does this, Ralph, I know in the BDSM biz, you've got a lot of negotiations going on, and does this honesty that you feel is important in a relationship, is that in any way related to that?
It certainly is. It's also very much my own personal style that this very strong honesty in which the basic my policy is to tell Lori that everything that I think that she might want or need to know about what's going on with me.
Yes.
Except stuff that would violate someone else's privacy. And this feels comfortable with me. I feel that I can handle anything that Lori might tell me, but I can't handle not finding out about things or finding out about things secondhand.
Right.
Then. And I really feel the same way. I'd much rather Ralph be honest with me and tell me what's going on with him up front than just, you know, wonder. what's happening with us, no matter if it's where do you want to eat dinner tonight or something a lot more serious.
So it sounds like your compatibility, in effect, might stem from factors more like that rather than sexual appetite, so to speak.
I would say that, this mutual honesty is the foundation of our relationship, and
yes.
It is what makes it possible for our relationship to work as well as it has, and for us to deal with the fact that at this moment that I am more kinky than she is.
So, but presumably you didn't know all of that at first. I mean, what drew you to each other? Was it perhaps Ralph's secret hidden side that you sensed in some kind of intuitive way?
Pure animal magnetism?
Was it the chemistry? Beast inside Ralph?
It was more that she was a nice person, and I felt able to talk with her, and the fact that a first date is not that high a commitment.
Sure.
Right.
And it's the same for me. Ralph was just one of the kindest, most open men I'd probably ever met. So, of course I wanted to go out with him again. And really, it's just been developing from that.
So tell us about, do you have a...
Well, I was quite interested in moving on to the second date because I understand things developed a little bit at that point. Unless you have a different...
Now, I had exactly the same question, which was basically, when did you start learning about Ralph's BDSM?
Hidden past.
Yeah.
Dark side.
Code word. Code word.
I wouldn't go that far. I kind of had an inkling that maybe, sort of, probably, but I wasn't going to make any assumptions until we talked about it.
But this wasn't something that you were worried about. I mean, a lot of people, they date men and they suspect that they're drug dealers.
Oh, my God.
Or that they're really gay and they're not. There's all kinds of mm-hmm. things that you suspect. When you actually assumed that Ralph would not keep anything hidden from you, but he would share if you asked. Is that true?
Yes, or if when he was ready to share with me, I'd say. Because the first few dates, that's really, it wasn't an issue. You're seeing if you're compatible with the person on a lot more general
levels.
Yes. So, I'd say, well.
So, how did you learn about his ways?
I believe in a very literal sense, you visited his inner sanctum.
Well, yes.
On
the second date, we went to dinner and I think a bookstore, and then we were both kind of tired, but we still wanted to spend time together, so we went back to his place, and the problem is Ralph's place lacks a couch. So the first time...
Interesting. So
the first date we ended
no
up...
couch.
There's no couch in the living room. There's just
How
bucket
convenient.
Seat chairs. So,
there's no place to put a couch either.
No, there really isn't. So the first date, we ended up just sitting on the floor together so that we could be close.
They said it flaws. My butt fell asleep in the process.
Ouch.
Yeah. It's a wooden floor. It was February then, so it was sort of chilly down mm-hmm. on the floor. So the second date, he said to me, really, almost kind of sheepishly, because he really didn't want me to get the impression he was trying to drag me off into the inner sanctum.
You know, it's just that my butt fell asleep, you know?
Yeah, but he said to me, well, you know, we don't have a couch. I can turn my futon into a couch if you don't mind being in my bedroom. And I said, no, that's okay, because I had a sense of what he was like, and I felt like I could trust him.
Note to our listeners, an excellent gambit for the future. Just remember the line, I don't have a couch.
I can make my bed into my feet on into one if you'd like.
Note, though, it works much better if you actually do not have a couch.
And not having a couch is inconvenient at other times, so I wouldn't go giving it to Goodwill just yet.
All right, so
you
entered his bedroom.
Yes, and I think that night I'd already taken my glasses off somewhere else. And that's an important fact there, that I'd taken my glasses off, because, like many nearsighted people, I'm close to blind without them.
Interesting.
So, Ralph has things in his room that might have tipped me off, but as I wasn't wearing my glasses...
They were just vaguely ominous shapes rather than
actually... Well, they weren't even ominous because they just were blurs.
Interesting. There's a vague whip-shaped object on the wall.
I did see listeners that heard the last show, which I did listen to, actually.
Of course. I mean, I don't think anybody in Pittsburgh doesn't listen to it.
But I heard him you all mentioning the graduation tassel-looking thing. What was it you called it, Corey?
I don't recall. My lord and master, I don't actually recall the terminology I use for it. The cat of nine tails or something?
The tassel from the tassel.
That's the graduation tassel from the High School of the Damned, I believe.
Yes! Yes!
Yes.
All right, I'm sorry. Yes, that's right.
You saw one of those.
Yes, I saw one of those, and I had no clue as to what it is. Speculated with a friend of mine that's clueful about these things
later.
sometime next week, I said, because I had said to her, I know he went to these play parties, and I didn't know that. I knew that his ex-girlfriend went to the play parties.
But where the smoke, there's fire, basically.
Yeah, and I mentioned to her that I'd seen the graduation tassel-looking toy, and she said, that's probably a toy, but we agreed it wasn't like, among other things... It certainly wasn't as if he had pointed it out to me, so I really wasn't concerned. I figured when it needed to be talked about, it would be.
But it was on a hook on the wall. I mean, it's some sort of...
on the bookshelf, actually.
Satanic art form of some kind. on the bookshelf, okay. So
It's just kind of there with the books.
So, contemporarily, though, if that's a word, when you were in the bedroom, you saw this tassel... You just noted it for future reference.
Right.
It did not alarm you. You did not want to flee in terror. You're like, oh,
no.
Okay.
Interesting.
No.
And that was semi-intentional on my part.
Leaving some clues.
I deliberately decided to... first off, my bedroom is my private space. So I can reveal my sexual personality there. But also...
Sure you can.
Also, I figured that this was a reasonably gentle way to let someone who might never have dealt with these ideas before to see the floggers, for example, first before having... to deal with them in a direct and personal way.
Mm-hmm. I guess that makes sense, although one can imagine in many other scenarios where, you know, you wouldn't want to walk in, like if you walked into my bedroom and saw, you know, a stack of dildos or a giant electric...
Can of probe.
an electric cattle prod or something, you might be alarmed. I mean, in fact, it seems like the most... It seemed like there would be gentler ways than actually seeing the implements. Like, you know, you must have some sort of erotic literature, for example, or something like that. Or some books, you know, there must be some...
Well, I have books on my shelves also.
Right.
But once again, she couldn't read.
but this is... this flogger is soft and purple, and it's not purple. Like the...
What's it made of? It's latex?
It's strings.
It's rayon cord.
So it is a graduation tassel.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Class 666.
It's not like the hanging a flogger with...
you could crochet it and put a plant in it, for example.
tips.
All right. So I understand.
Abrame.
So your the little glove that you showed me.
I know many things about erotic macrame.
Okay, well, just write that right down on my checklist. But macabre, is that what that's called? So previously you'd shown me this this mitten that you had, that little spiky, that had little spiky nails coming out of it.
The vampire gloves.
The grip, yes, of the undead. Mm-hmm. So you didn't have that hanging out, I assume.
I had that lying on a shelf next to at the headboard of my bed.
Basically, anywhere she stumbled, she was going to run into something.
Pretty much. But I didn't know. I noticed that he had black leather gloves, actually, but they were turned in such a way you could not see the spikes. And
this could be like a really cool video game. Sometimes all the little things you discover, and you discover how to put them together.
But there really wasn't a need to do that,
create the perfect
BDSM
entity.
Because we did, like we mentioned, we're very open and honest with each other, and when it needed to come up, it came up.
But I don't get this is date number two. I mean, come on, where does all this open and honest stuff? I mean, I thought, in date number two, in my world at least, that's the point where you're still trying not to scare the other party.
Exactly.
So you're not being open and honest.
I am not a freak. Yes. Please.
So there definitely was some of that. So that I had to pause for a moment while I frantically grabbed all the porn magazines that were lying out and put them away neatly.
Interesting. The porn magazine. But
I was trying to. The thought also ran through my head that if she was just going to see the flogger and run screaming, then this relationship probably wouldn't work out anyway.
Right. And the type of person I am, if I had wanted to do that, I would have at least asked about it. And I'll admit there was some...
You would have run screaming in a very polite way.
Yes.
Interesting.
The thing is, too, that I'll admit, sure, what I noticed, the first time I noticed, he has some leather floggers also that are hanging in the closet. And the first time I had my glasses on in the bedroom long enough to see them, and I did notice them, maybe on the second date, I really don't remember. I don't think it was the second date, because I remember not being able to tell what they were, and not really thinking it was a good idea either way to put on my glasses and check, because I wanted to get to know him, and...
And you think vision interferes with that process?
Well, most decidedly.
It's bad to have glasses banging against glasses when you're kissing.
Yeah, it really just is not a sexy thing at all.
That's why I have contacts.
But anyway, the thing is, too, I felt that I was still willing to get to know him before I ran screaming, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, there's no need to.
Interesting. So...
There was some nervousness the first time I noticed he had leather floggers, just more on the level of...
Because they were leather, right? The leather ones disturbed more than the...
Did you're a vegetarian, or...
No, more on the level of...
They look more sinister.
They look more... Definitely, that's the perfect way to put it. They look more sinister, and pain is not my thing, so I think for me, too, it was more a level of, I really like this guy. I'm very compatible with him in a lot of ways. I hope this doesn't end up tearing us apart before we have a chance to get started.
Right. Ralph, was this layout of your room? My question is, was this a deliberate? Is this the way you artistically arrange your room, or was this just stuff lying around where you had left it last? Or the third option is, was it actually placed there in this deliberate little adventure for her to find all the things in the appropriate order?
A contrivance, as it were.
So I've set up my bedroom. So first off, it's there for me. And then, so...
So your spiked glove is within easy reach of the bed, for example.
Yeah. Yeah, and the porn is in easy reach of the bed because that's where I'm usually using the porn. And it's better for the floggers for them to be the hanging vertically instead of dumped in a toy bag.
You mean better for them to retain their shape and
they retain their
suppleness
shape.
And accessibility.
Yes. The accessibility is not so much of an issue. But also, I figure that having these things out in a discreet, not too intrusive way is that, well, first off, many people just never notice them. You'd be amazed at how many people just won't notice.
In fact, I'm so amazed I don't believe you. I think that's impossible. Are you? You'd see a giant flogger on the wall, and you'd just be like, woohoo, okay.
Well,
that's just ornamental Indian headdress thing? Or?
No, this is hanging in the closet next to, like, shirts and...
It's within a closet. It's not literally on the wall.
Exactly.
It's not on the wall in a really attention-getting place. It's just...
hold on. You've got the porn hanging out. You've got the hand with the scratchy,
the porn is
that. Actually, that's no longer on the headboard.
The porn is neatly on the bookshelf, like a stack of books.
So you'd have to, in some sense, be looking pretty carefully in your room before it was obvious that...
You can see it easily if you're looking for it, but it's easy to
overlook. A casual observer will just... And the purple violet wand, what's that thing?
The violet wand, yes.
My nipples are still tingling from my interaction with the violet wand from last time.
That's actually in a toy bag, so...
So you don't have it fully charged at all times.
I couldn't sleep with that purple glow.
Could you attach such an item to, if you had a metal bed framer, for example, could you attach it to your bed so that every time you crawled into bed, you would get sort of tickled by the purple wand? Or,
I think it would be hard to do, and I don't think it would promote good sleep.
All right, well, I should mention that WRCT does not advocate attaching any kind of electrical instruments to your bedware. because it's something that should only be done by trained BDSM professionals due to the possible injury and death that might occur. No laughing matter. Life is cheap to you people, isn't it? So,
Lori's never seen it.
I've never really? So
I don't think so.
In fact, Ralph and I have played together.
On the air.
Well, I probably...
It was not actually on the air.
It was afterwards, right. On our flogging a couple of weeks ago was quite dramatic, but...
Yes.
All right, great. So you saw the stuff, you saw the bedroom, mm-hmm. and you were tolerant and accepting... I don't remember. You had these questions, but you were sort of filing them in, right? You're like, I'm not going to let this worry me right now.
Right.
Whatever.
I didn't feel that we were ready for this discussion. And I kind of wanted to let him bring it up because
tactful way to bring this up.
Right. Well, there was.
Do you say? Excuse me. Are you like a sadomasochist? Listen to me. Sadomasochist.
Sentimentalist.
I was trying to do a Valley Girl accent and failed miserably. So anyway.
But there was the issue of the erotic calendar hanging in your face. I believe that. Is that true? I mean,
not hanging in my face, but on the first time I was in his bedroom, I did notice that, and trying to be nonchalant, I said, oh, so what's that? Or tell me about your calendar.
Could you actually see that it was erotic?
I think, to the best of my memory, I could see that it was of a woman. I could see it was...
Well, that's a reasonable guess, then.
Tasteful erotic art, but I couldn't really... I really honestly don't remember right now how clearly I saw it, and now I'm so used to the darn thing.
Interesting. So it plays a daily part in your...
No, it doesn't.
No.
That's like a calendar.
It's a calendar.
It hangs on the wall.
Yeah. I see it. It really doesn't bother me one way or the other.
Some sort of ungodly calendar of the perverse.
So ultimately...
No, not at all. It's just art.
Yeah. All right.
Ultimately... You guys must have had this conversation, obviously.
Yes.
So how did that go?
It went really well. We were trying to remember, before we came here tonight, how exactly it came up. And
I don't remember exactly how it came up, but Lori, you remember what I said better than I do.
Yeah, well, the thing I remember most of all... Besides that, it was snowing outside, so it was a nice night to be snuggled up together talking about things.
Okay.
The point. And he said to me, I think, and I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was, well, I guess by now you've gotten the impression or somehow you know that I have done some kink. And I said, I remember my reaction because I just said, yeah, I have. Can we talk about it? Is that what I said, Ralph?
Do I don't remember, honestly.
Is that about, that's at least the general feeling.
Yeah.
And so we talked about it. And for me, it was good because one of the things he said was, this doesn't all have to happen in our relationship.
Doesn't all have to happen. Well, that's an interesting word.
Yeah.
But did you get the sense that some of it might happen in the relationship?
Only if I wanted it to.
Uh-huh.
And we weren't really making, this was still pretty early on in things, and we weren't making promises to each other that everything was going to be wonderful and we were, you know, it would work out if we couldn't find some middle ground in that area. But we were both very open to trying, and it was really a great conversation for me.
Uh-huh.
Because we were very honest with each other about our sexual experiences on both sides. And, well, there's a lot of safety and there's a lot of power in that, because if you've talked about that, like Ralph said earlier, there's really nothing you can't hear from the person. And I think we really trust each other and know that we're always honest, and that's really where we're going to start talking about now, is how this works.
Yeah.
What I got out of the conversation that was crucially important for me was that Lori accepting that I'm kinky, that I like to do these things, that not necessarily that she gave any commitment to doing these things with her. That's something that we're still exploring slowly and tentatively.
Oh, very tentatively.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
But for her to, I needed her to be okay with the thought of me having these interests and desires. That if she hadn't been able to do that, I don't think we would have been able to maintain the relationship.
No, not on either side. Because you have to be able to accept each other for who you are, and that's really crucial.
I have a question about relating to that. You must have been curious about why he was into this stuff. And did you discuss that, and was the answer accessible to you, or did you have to kind of take it on faith, if you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the answer is.
I think really my questions on that line, it's more been so far a take it on faith thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about it, but I think that's an area that's still fuzzy for both of us.
Hmm.
But I do understand some of the, he's told me about some of the basic attractions, and some of them are good things for me because BDSM isn't just about flogging someone. There's a whole range of sensuality involved, and sensuality is a good thing, in my opinion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And my BDSM experience gives me a broader variety of things that I can do besides the straightforward normal sex. And A lot of which aren't terribly painful, just the erotic and the imaginative. And
what's an example?
Not at all.
I've heard that you have a prehensile penis. Is that true? A four-headed prehensile penis.
You'll just have to wait until I come into the steam room, Corey. okay. An example of that: the rabbit fur.
Yes.
Rabbit fur.
I have the rabbit skin, which is just very soft and nice to brush over someone's skin.
Very, very nice to have brushed over your skin or to brush over someone else's skin.
It does not sound painful.
No.
For anyone except for the rabbit.
Well, a lot of this stuff doesn't involve pain, and I'd say that's what I've been willing to explore, because for me, pain is something I couldn't deal with, because we were discussing, I'm a very sensitive person in just about any way. Mm-hmm. I'll let Ralph explain that.
She's very sensitive. It's easy to cause her accidental pain. It's easy to tickle her. It's also pretty easy to turn her on.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a real delight for me. This in many ways compensates for many of the things that I would miss with BDSM, that I really like being able to make her gasp and moan with just a kiss, without having to use particular toys or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We're speechless.
That's a very powerful image. Gasping and moaning from just a kiss. Well, so is Ralph?
It must be a three-headed prehensile tongue or something. I don't
know. All of Ralph's appendages are apparently very powerful.
You sound like you had a question for me about that, Corey. Or are you just going into the whole prehensile thing?
I just have numerous questions. I mean, I was going to make the observation first of all that I was wondering if Ralph's BDSM background had taught him this wide variety of techniques and bottom line, is Ralph a better kisser than any man you've ever kissed? I mean, he must be if you're getting...
Are you trying to get me in trouble?
Partially orgasmic. In trouble?
You don't have to answer if the answer is no.
No, actually, but I'd say,
in
a lot of ways he is. I think it's a combination, though, of things he's learned from the BDSM, but also just very willing to be sensual and very sensitive to how sensitive, in a sensual way, I am.
Sensually, yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And he really likes to capitalize on that, and that's just wonderful for both of us.
I have another burning question, which is a little bit off the topic,
Well, let me answer that then. Part of my sensitivity...
She's a mind reader as well.
If you interrupt me again, you're going to be flogged.
Part of my being so aware of what's going on with her and sensitive to that is from my experience in the BDSM community where...
You have to.
There are so many, yes, and there's so many possibilities that you can't expect that anyone will respond to everything. So you have to be used to that process of discovering what turns someone on. And
so you are probably far more intuitive than the average person. You can sense how people are reacting without them being verbal, for example, because you do that a lot, or you've had a lot of experience with it.
I've had more practice with that.
You're a lot like Powder in that respect.
Oh, sweet mother.
I guess no one else saw the movie Powder. Powder was this kind of alien child with head.
What was the previous question you were going to make?
I was actually very moved by the movie Powder, but that's another story, I guess.
It's only because the director was a child molester.
I haven't seen it. Let's not discuss it.
Nor I.
All right. Well, X-Powder. Okay, so I'm actually very interested in this. Lori made a point of saying you're very accepting of Ralph's desires and interests, but does that extend to Ralph's actions? Like, are desire and interests enough? Does Ralph need to live out his desires? Where do you draw the line, and what does that line look like?
This is something we are still working out.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think only Ralph could answer most of that question for you. That's something that's still a gray area for us, but we'd happily talk about things that have come up and how we've dealt with them. The first thing was Ralph wanted to go to a play party.
Was interested.
Was it? Yeah. I think that's really the way to... Sorry. And the point being, though, is that he was interested. He was kicking it around. And one of the first things he did once interested was talk to me about it and see where I was. Was I comfortable or not?
Now, did you want to go also?
No.
You did not want to go. So this was about how you felt about him going by himself.
Yes.
We quickly established that it was an absolute no idea of her going.
Mm-hmm. And did you want her to go?
Or I didn't think she would be at all comfortable. I didn't think it was a good idea for her to go.
Even being an observer in an educational sense, wouldn't it help demystify the play party for her if she went and just watched?
If she wasn't fundamentally uncomfortable being there, which I thought she would be.
Yeah, I think I would, at this point I'd say I think I would be too. And to be honest, I feel like all the demystifying I've needed has really been accomplished through us talking. And like we've probably run into the ground already, is that we are open and honest. And there's nothing I can't ask him.
Do you think that, Ralph, by taking Laurie to a play on your first date, you're introducing her subconsciously to the notion of play parties?
Or no, I don't think so. And she was the one who suggested the play.
There was no subconscious interest on her part in play parties. That was
I was in theater for quite a while. I had won tickets, free tickets to a play, so he called me to see if I wanted to get together at some point, and I said... Actually, I have these tickets.
Anyway, I'm going to drag this conversation back.
So how did this resolve out, this possible sticking point?
The final resolution was that she really didn't feel comfortable with the idea of me going to a play party, without her. And so the...
And did you or didn't?
I didn't, because I decided that I valued her comfort more. I didn't feel need to push it on that. In another instance, I was considering flogging a friend of mine. And we'd agreed that, he and I were both interested if it was okay with our respective SOs. And so... I talked with Laurie about this, and it was clear in our conversation that this was really important for me, that this felt like something that was really right to do. And so there, I was really trying to find a way to say, how can we solve this in such a way that I get to play with him and Laurie is okay with it?
And one of the most important things, I think, about the conversation was that he stressed through it that wanting to play with this guy was important to me, but that I was important to him also, and that he really does care about me. And that made the whole discussion so much easier. Mm-hmm. And it really came across to me that it was important to him, and I felt like this is a part of him, and this is something he wants to do, and you have to be... I think the best relationships, you have freedom to be yourself, and this is part of who Ralph is, and...
Were you now, at this point, were you seeing each other exclusively?
Yes.
Yes.
So this would have... To the extent to which... this play could be considered sex, this could be considered a violation of that exclusivity.
Yes.
Just so I understand, did this happen? Did you actually end up playing with this
gentleman?
I did
end up playing with this guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Partly because Laurie that gave her blessing to it as a result of that long, honest and caring conversation.
Yeah, and it really was all three things. It wasn't hard. It wasn't really hard for me. I don't think it was hard for Ralph, or not.
Now you mentioned this was a man.
Yes.
You were this. Now, did any sort of feelings of jealousy come out of this? Would that have been a motivating factor? Like, for instance, if this had been a woman rather than a man. Do you think that would have made a difference to you?
It being a woman would have made a difference to me. I can admit that.
And I think there were some questions of whether jealousy should come into play.
Yeah.
For example, I remember
it's an interesting question.
Lori asking me if I was planning to have sex with this guy, to which I said no. That what?
Now, Ralph, orient me to your orientation.
I'm pretty much het or on the far on the het end of bi. I can appreciate good-looking guys. I've only had sex with guys once.
Sex with guys once. So how many guys at once?
Actually, it's twice. Okay, once each time.
One guy twice. Two different men.
Yeah. Now, what about you, Lori? I just have to get this thing straight.
I'm very how do I put this? I'd say strictly heterosexual.
Uh-huh.
I don't have a problem with other sexual orientations at all, but my own is het.
And just to finish this sexual landscape, the flog-y gentleman, he was, what was his sexual orientation, as far as you know? Because if he was gay, for example, you might feel his feelings of jealousy because
he might also on the het side of bi. He has a female significant other. But I was planning for this scene to be sensual instead of sexual.
That's the phrase that was leaping to my mind, too, is that one of the biggest, most powerful things he said to me was, well, I don't know how else to explain it to you, Lori, except for it's more about being sensual without being sexual. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, really. And I said, well, that helps an awful lot.
So if it had been more sexual than sensual, you would have had a lot more problem with it.
And yeah. I would have had a lot more problem with it.
I mean, I totally understand that.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, see, I actually don't... Well, you all understand that, so maybe we should just move on. I don't understand it. I mean, I think that something like that, you know, if my partner went off and became very intimate, just sensually with someone else, I think I would be jealous or at least uncomfortable with all this sensuality going on.
Well,
I mean, I know I'm sort of limited in that aspect.
I'd say when we had this discussion, definitely he was very, very wonderful about it and really understood that for me, this is a totally new area. This is nothing that any of my previous boyfriends have done. And one of the things I said was, well, give me a minute to process all this and understand. And he was totally cool with that. But I'd say, really, it's just been, in a way, it's something I've had to take on faith too, Corey, but I trust
DJ,
Ralph.
DJ Master Kosakum.
I'm sorry.
But please continue. Sorry, I know I derailed your train of thought, and that was cruel of me.
That's all right.
Well, so I want to say something else about this conversation. After a while, we'd gotten to a point in this conversation where Lori had said, I can tell that this is very important to you, and I don't feel I can say no to that. And that wasn't completely comfortable to me. And I thought about it and said, I want a little bit more than just you're not forbidding me to do this. I thought, if you can do it, I'd like to have your blessing for this as well. And this led to more conversation and talking things out.
And that was actually sort of ironic because you are the Discordian priest.
but I'm the Celtic priestess, so it all works out.
Okay.
But in the end, she did feel that she could say that, yes, go ahead and do this with my blessing.
And
that was important for me. That let me go off and play with this guy without worrying that it was going to make things blow up between me and Lori.
Right. And so, but sometimes we can't predict our own emotional state. After it happened, how did you feel that night or the next day or whatever?
Yeah, I was. That's what I was getting to, actually, is to say, first of all, him explained to me that he wanted really more than just my tolerance, really opened up a door for me and made me understand a little more about him. And that's been a really beautiful part of our relationship. And I think we both handled it really well, too, because the night before, like a Monday night, I sent him an email telling him I wanted him to have a good time and not be worried about how I was feeling. But, gee, if you could please remember that when we talked about this, I said I'd like some reassurance the day after that everything's okay with us, that this hasn't changed things. I know you've said it won't, but I'm human. I need to hear this after. And right. He was really...
And I'm glad that she was honest and aware enough to be able to say that and ask for that.
Yeah, I think it's important for both of us to be able to do that. And I'd like to say that what was really nice was he sent me email that night when he got home saying, yes, everything went well, and I'll call you tomorrow morning at work to let you know just how much I care about you. And he did. And, I mean, you really can't ask for a better handling of something or a better compromise.
Right. So have you, we only have a few minutes left, but I think we've all seen that the central kernel of this relationship is caring and sharing.
Caring, sharing, and bearing.
The burning question that I have still remaining in my mind is, are there other ways where you've compromised or met halfway? For example, you talked about the bunny skin.
Fur.
But have you...
We are still...
Have you become less kinky? Have you become more kinky? Have you averaged your kinkiness together?
Kinky when the moon is full.
I'm probably still as imaginative in the things that I think about, but we are still very slowly exploring what feels right for the two of us to do together.
Yes.
Do you have a secret wish for the other partner? Like, I wish Ralph were less I wish Lori were more Y. Or are you happy
with
each
other? If we do, it's a secret, right?
Well,
right.
But that.
But we always want to know more.
Well,
the dirt, the juice.
The charter of Loveline is to expose
the
truth.
Probe where.
Well, I can
probe
say,
the inner sanctum. That's it, in a nutshell.
I can say that he's a very creative lover, very imaginative, but very respectful. And. Yeah, sometimes that has made me say, you know, I think it would be fun if we tried X.
Uh-huh.
And so far that hasn't been any...
And I usually like Xing.
But so far it really hasn't been anything major. The bunny fur, I think, is a good example. What else do we want to... Yeah. I'll let you... take it for a while.
Yeah, what are other examples?
Well, let's see. So I've pinned Lori's arms, wrists above her head sometimes.
With his own hands.
Yes. One.
Not with pins, okay?
Not with his prehensile ears.
So,
oh, my God.
This is like Will Smith. That once that I brought out the cuffs and she tried them on.
Actually, I only tried one wrist on. Okay. I didn't even try both on.
It freaked you out.
These are actually probably high quality cuffs that are actually could not actually. They're not like the ones that you can get at Unimart or whatever. You can just which are just plastic.
No, I have never seen cuffs like Ralph's at Unimart.
No. WRCT does not endorse any particular 24-hour store.
I remember that once Lori had talked about the being willing to experiment with bondage, and
I mentioned the cuffs, and she rolled her eyes at me and said, actually, I've been thinking like silk scarves. And I got, I would much rather use the cuffs than silk scarves because of safety issues. The silk scarves are much more likely to cut off circulation. So even though the cuffs look more intimidating, I believe that they are a gentler and kinder way to do bondage.
And I'm still making peace with that thought.
Interesting. Well, I think I hate to interrupt us at this time, but we are out of time. It's midnight. This is WRCT 88.3 FM, Carnegie Mellon University. Thank you to all our lovely listeners. For a closing thought to all the other caring, sharing couples, what piece of advice do you have to give them that they can go to bed with tonight?
Be honest.
Our honesty and caring and sensitive consideration for each other's feelings is what makes this relationship possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Excellent. And
yeah.
And women, if your boyfriend wants to go out with another man and spend the night and flog each other or whatever,
please bless that experience.
Talk about it all and do what feels right for the two of you.
And be true to your feelings, and don't be afraid to tell your partner what those feelings are. Thank you.
Excellent.
All of you.
Thank you, Pittsburgh, and good night.
I'm just a boy.
WRCT, Pittsburgh.
Listen carefully and you will air yourself.
Try just once more. I chose you for the one. Now I'm having so much fun. You've always treated me kind. I'm about to lose my mind. You made me so very happy. And I'm so glad you came into my life. Came into my life. You came into my life. The others, they were untrue. But when it came to loving you, I want to spend my whole life with you. Cause you came and you took control. You changed my very soul. You've always shown me that loving you is where it's at. You made me so very happy. I'm so glad that you came into my life. I love you so much it seems that you're evil in my dreams. I can hear you call.